Okay, we'll call to order our Economic Development Committee for Tuesday, September 6th. First item is approval of minutes from the July 5th, 2022.
Move for approval, Madam Chairman.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Number four is employee years of service recognition. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm skipping public comment. I apologize. Okay, number three, public comment. If you have 2.5 minutes, if you'll give your name and address, if you want to come and speak to the committee. I knew nobody wanted to.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Number four, employee years of service.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Lauren.
I'm going to get upset. I didn't think I was. I thought I was totally going to be together. So this employee recognition is bittersweet. Today we recognize Lauren Sim for 10 years of service. But today we also say goodbye and wish her well as she moves to a new chapter in her life. Lauren came to the town straight out of the College of Charleston's Master of Public Administration program. Initially, she helped with numerous projects, such as the government outreach program. A couple of years later, Lauren took on the tremendous role of being the project manager for the construction of this town hall. She's been the primary staff person to pull together our strategic plans and monitor their progress. She has implemented data management and tracks our statistics, such as those orange and purple data set that you see in the conference room, which will probably now transition to garnet and black in color as she leaves. She has helped develop and lead our new youth council program the last 2 years. She stepped up in a really big way to help the business develop with business development a couple of years ago, and has since done a fantastic job supporting our local businesses, helping the Mount Pleasant Chamber of Commerce grow, and assisting with this committee. And this all in addition to the many other projects and daily tasks that she has assisted with. I personally will miss Lauren very much. She has been my right-hand person for the past several years. I know I speak for others when I say she is someone that you can always depend on to get things done and get them things done well. We thank her for all of her years in service and everything that she's contributed to the town to make us better, and wish her the best in her new endeavors. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Number five is discussion on housing affordability with Daryl J. Davis, Director of Charleston County Housing and Neighborhood Revitalization. Thank you, Mr. Davis.
Good afternoon. Yes, I'm here to talk about our county's county's housing plan. It covers more than just affordable housing. I try to make that clear every place we go. It's a housing strategy for the entire county. Do we have the PowerPoint? Thank you.
Welcome.
All right. So I'll give you an overview of the plan and then talk about our strategy for moving the plan forward. No secret to anybody, Charleston, you know, you hear a lot about how fast cities in the Southeast are growing, and Charleston is outpacing all of them except Raleigh, which we found to be pretty interesting. Housing affordability for homeowners is going through the roof. It used to take 3.5 times the average salary to purchase a home. Now it's more like 4.4 times the average salary. And we see that price increase across all asset classes, which is usually pretty rare. But housing in all price ranges have seen a spike in the last couple of years. Now, on the rental side, it appears that the rental gap is getting narrower, but it's not. What you actually have are higher income people entering the rental market. So this one is a little skewed, and we'll talk about that in just a second. And again, you see those price spikes in every asset class, across class A, B, and C properties, which is another thing you don't often see in markets. And a lot of that is based on this one thing, is right around 2010, the inward migration of folks increased significantly. Before then, you had about 11 people per day entering Charleston County. Now it's at 16. And this is where a lot of that comes from, is that it's high-income households entering the market. Out of those 16 people, 8 of them have incomes of $150,000 a year or more. And that's something you don't see in a lot of these other cities that are growing as fast as Charleston. And you'll see that there's an outward migration of working class folks who are moving further out to Berkeley, Dorchester, and a lot of cases even further. And this is where the serious supply problem comes, because right at the same time that inward migration was increasing, building supply added to the market plummeted. With very few units being added to the market in 2010 and 2011, and it still has not caught up to pre-recession levels. So we are not adding units fast enough to the market, even to keep pace with those who are moving to the area now. And this is the slide that we end up talking a lot about in a lot of places, is that Charleston County has a housing problem. Not an affordable housing problem specifically. If you look at this slide, you can see that there is a more pronounced undersupply at the luxury end of the market than there is at the affordable end of the market. And because of that supply, all of those high-income people moving to the county are purchasing up housing that would typically be affordable to working families and even professional families. So it's that undersupply at the top of the market that's causing problems all across the spectrum. So one of the things we like to talk about is we really don't care in what asset class. We want to see more affordable housing built, but we need to see more housing built, period, in every asset class. And we're expecting 15,000 new blue-collar jobs to Charleston County in the next few years, and no one has any idea where they're going to live. So that is a problem that affects every municipality and every part of the county. So our Housing Our Future plan, there are five priorities that the plan is centered around. Number one is building capacity. And what I try to get folks to understand is that right now, Charleston County doesn't have the development infrastructure to build the number of units that we need. There's not enough developers, there's not enough land. So it's very difficult to get that production machine rolling. So that's the first thing we need to address. Then reducing barriers to adding housing. And that's very difficult because we deal with hurricanes and flooding and things of that nature. So you can't just simplify, you can't oversimplify the building permit process, but we do have to look at ways to make it faster and to reduce barriers. Then production and preservation. That's where the majority of our funding will be spent in actually funding projects to get built. Stability and security, keeping people in their homes, and then equitable home ownership. We have seen a disparity across the races in terms of who actually owns a home. Those priorities are split into three different components, a policy component, programs, and capacity. So as you see the plan, you'll see those terms over and over. Starting with capacity building, we have been working on a number of fronts there. We are part of the Regional Housing Coalition. We are creating a new housing innovation lab where we're going to do things like design competitions and look at different ways of homeless housing, those kinds of things. Local capacity building, that's working with small developers and nonprofits. To help them be able to produce more units. The Charleston City Housing Authority is a big partner there. They're going to help us to train some of these nonprofits and get them to where they can increase their capacity. We're going to put some money into building trades job training. There is a lack of a workforce in terms of building the housing. And finally, land activation is an interesting one. There's a lot of land held off the market in Charleston County because people in South Carolina are attached to their land. So when developers come along and they want to build housing, folks don't want to sell. That land's been in the family. They want to keep it in the family. So we're working with different financing models that will allow families to keep ownership of the land while building housing on it. reducing barriers. I think we all know what that means, looking at zoning and permitting, and the changes that the county already made to the Zeldar. And we will be working with local municipalities who want to change their zoning codes. A lot of smaller municipalities are they want to make that change, but they don't have the staffing or the resources to actually do an in-depth analysis. We want to help them with that. And the thing that I want to emphasize most here is that we're not trying to force change down any municipality's throat. We want to help municipalities get where they want to go. So we're not trying to impose our will on any of the municipalities around here. Charleston County is extremely diverse. It's the only county I've ever worked in that has three different urban areas, a number of suburban areas, and a whole lot of rural areas, which is unique to me across the country. Production, you know, pretty much the standard tools here, establishing what our funding priorities are, doing gap financing and infill, working towards a regional land bank, and we have been working with the three different housing authorities and their development plans. Stability, we do want to work with eviction prevention. That's a big one because our numbers tell us there's an undercurrent of folks who are literally one step away from eviction. Eviction in South Carolina can be used as a rent collection tool. And, you know, landlords have to have their money. We all understand that. But what happens is you have a lot of particularly working class people who are paying rent 3, 4, 5 days late. And it's not like, you know, when you and I were coming out of college and the rental fee was 50 or the late rent fee was $50 or $75. Now it's a percentage of the rent. So you have people in an $800 apartment who are paying $1,000 a month in rent because they're constantly paying 2, 3, 4 days late. And that's something that can send a family. Once it goes to eviction court, then you have attorney's fees and all those kinds of things. And it just makes the problem so much worse. So we want to address it so working families can get assistance before they fall into that eviction trap. We're doing a lot with the homeless, working with, now in Charleston County, we found there were two approaches to the homeless. One is the HUD approach, and one is what you see a lot of local nonprofits doing with their homeless assistance. They haven't really been working well together, so we're trying to bring those two communities together to take a more comprehensive approach to getting homeless people out of the woods, off the streets, and into housing. And finally, equitable home ownership. There are a number of new frameworks out there that are supposed to address the disparities in housing. We want to look into those, see how they apply to Charleston County, and then we intend to have resources available for working families who want to purchase a home. And I will add one final thing as I close this, is that, you know, there's a lot of discord around the county about you know, housing for the poor and public housing and all those kinds of things. And we intend to address, like I said, housing at every level of the spectrum, from luxury to low income. But the one thing that we want every municipality, every person in the county to get behind is anybody who works a 40-hour week deserves a decent, safe, and affordable place to live. And we think if we can all get behind that one idea, we can make a lot of progress towards housing in the county. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Does anybody have any questions?
Are we allowed to ask questions? I have questions. I always do.
Thank sure.
You want to go first? Do you have questions?
No.
Okay. All right. What are you considering affordable in Mount Pleasant?
Well, we look at, and people are starting to use the term attainable, but essentially one third or 30% of your income should go towards housing and utilities. So that's pretty much the benchmark wherever we are. So we're talking about housing for the people, housing for folks that they can afford on what they earn.
I think we did Gregory Ferry, and I believe they're about 270,000. Does anybody? I think $270,000 a home or something like that, and that was in an attainable or affordable housing project in Mount Pleasant, which would technically be affordable.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, is that the ask that you're looking for Mount Pleasant? Does that make sense? Like, what would be your ask?
What we would ask is that you look at your workforce. look at the folks who are working in Mount Pleasant, your servers, your Walmart workers, your whoever they are, that the Mount Pleasant economy depends on. And assist us in trying to make sure that those folks can work close to where they live, somewhere close to where they live. And we all see the pressure that this people moving further and further out is putting on our highways and our roads. So we really believe that folks ought to be able to live near where they work. We're not going to define what that is. But also, you know, I'm assuming you guys are having the same problem we're having, is that we'll lose people to Berkeley and Dorchester counties because they'll take a lower salary because they don't have to drive 20 miles into work in the morning and spend an hour in traffic. So it really is a regional problem. Every community is going to have to make those decisions for themselves. We're here to assist with that. But really, our main goal is making sure that people who work in a community can afford to live in or at least near that community.
Have you ever seen the model where some municipalities are giving incentives to first responders to live in the community in which they work?
Yes.
$400 more a month or something like that. Could you explain that?
Well, a lot of different municipalities have taken that approach. I haven't really seen it on a county approach, not saying that it doesn't exist. I haven't seen it, but yes, that does exist. It is certainly a tool that a lot of municipalities will employ. You know, I like to see it move beyond just first responders. But yeah, that is certainly a tool that different municipalities have chosen to employ.
Thank you. We do have Faison Road coming up as well as a discussion if you want to stick around
okay.
for that. Thank you.
First of all, Madam Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Chapman.
Mr. Davis, thank you very much. I was at the Chamber of Commerce board meeting when you made a similar presentation. And we need to understand we're not in this by ourselves. North Charleston's got the same problem. Housing in North Charleston is not as expensive as Mount Pleasant, but they have the same problem we have. City of Charleston has the same problem that we have. The county overall has the same problem we have. And it's something that we need to do a better job with. During the previous economic slowdown, 2008, there were some issues about permit for housing, number of permits for housing to be built that were allowed to be built. They changed it because of the economic conditions. We're in that position right now. We got to think about that. Second, in terms of equitable, affordable, attainable, whatever name you want to use, we have an opportunity with the Faison Road property and with the materials that we received to make another small dent, similar to what we did on Winnowing Way with the housing that we did there. And we also have to think about whether this is rented housing or whether it's purchased housing. There's differences. That's something we're going to have to do a better job of. But I'm so glad that Mr. Davis came in here and gave this presentation. But again, it's not only Mount Pleasant. It's the whole metropolitan Charleston area that has this problem.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Good. Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Davis.
Thank you.
I learned a lot. Thanks. All righty. Item 6 is discussion of Faison Road request for proposal submittals or RFPs.
Yeah, thank you.
I wasn't sure exactly how we would go about this or how much we could say publicly with this or, you know.
Sure. Madam Chair, I'm happy to review what we received and next steps, timeline, and then perhaps your self-committee can take it from there. But we did receive 5 submittals on the 26th of August. You recall in our RFP, by the way, just so you know, I'm ethically bound to disclose to you that I have a member of my family who is part of one of the teams that submitted for this. So I cannot discuss the merit of the submittal, just the what is in the RFP and what has occurred to date. And that is, we received five responses. You recall in the RFP that you had asked, council had asked for economic development, which is identified by our latest economic development strategy, which identifies target areas. So you asked for a purely economic development proposal or workforce housing or some combination thereof. And that's what you received. So of the five submittals, three were strictly workforce housing. One was strictly economic development, and another was a mix. And so going forward, as stated in the RFP, Town Council is the selection committee, and you have been provided a copy of each of the submittals, and that you are asked to review them and score them as you see fit, with the idea being, as stated in the RFP, that council will convene as a selection committee sometime this month to narrow the group to two or three, of which then you would ask to come in to present face-to-face. And so that's the process. That's what we've received so far, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Did anybody?
My only suggestion is the sooner the better. Right now we've got about $6.5 million that we spent for this land. And we need to try to recover some of those costs as best we can.
Mr. Arcona, did you have any?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
So I have a few questions as I look at these submittals. What height restrictions are out there? Because we do have some. Are we getting that low in that in depth right now? Or because when I look at some of these things, there's some height, and we're near the airport. Do we know that those were looked at ahead of time, or are we not digging into that hard?
When staff presented to you prior to council's decision to go ahead down this road of asking for proposals, staff had provided information when we were sort of going ahead on our own doing it. This is several months back. And at that time, we did not have any, and we researched everything we could about the property to include what would be restricted by the FAA in terms of height. And from, you know, anything out there that would be considered typical building construction, even athletic fields, we looked at that too, that we did not identify any restrictions by the FAA on the use of that property. And to note further, the piece of land that you have offered up for proposals is located more or less towards the roadway, I would say in a position that's furthest away from the airport that you can get to on that property.
Okay. Does this land position ourselves to match up with our economic development plan that we have passed through council?
It depends on what you decide the uses to be. You had mentioned before about whether it was, if we were getting too granular to discuss height. My read of the RFP is that you would review whether offerers were matching your conceptual ideas for the use of the property. And so I think that's something you'll have to assess in your score.
But if it were an economic development plan, and we're hiring an economic development.
Yes.
What's that title, which is excellent?
Director. Economic Development Director.
Yes. Thank you for that. That's pretty awesome. Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Yeah. for making that happen. So the direction of this land, in my opinion, is I think we need to get the greatest payback to the citizens of Mount Pleasant. We spent $6.5 million on this land. I realize that the direction of some of council was to put up the 5 acres for RFP. I've seen some great submittals here, and I believe that if it's just affordable housing, that we may not get that return on our investment. Although I do believe in the affordable housing, I also believe in the economic development of that land, and I also do believe in a little bit of recreation. I don't know if it's possible, but I would like a motion for this to go back to council for, to look at increasing the land available to combine the economic development and the affordable housing with the possibility of continuing to give more recreation space as well. I don't know if that is allowed to be a motion or not.
I'll second it for discussion.
Okay. Thank you, Howard.
Let me just say that I don't think we're ready to send this back to council. I think we need to take these proposals and score them and come up with what we think as a council is the best proposal or best combination thereof. We've got something on the table, so to speak, and when you say send it back to council, it is in council's hands now as a team to rate the proposals and accept, reject, pick one, two, combination thereof. We're at that point with the proposals in hand. Now, if it was to the point where the proposals didn't meet what the request was for, I'd say, yeah, we need to send it back to council. But I've reviewed them not as much detail as if we were going to make the selection right now, but I've reviewed them, and they meet what we asked them to do. And so I think we already have them as the full council that will be the evaluators. And so I think the motion is already on the table without sending it back to council. It's in the hands of council right now. We just need to set up a meeting or meetings to evaluate together, because we're the team. The entire council is the team to evaluate these. And so it's in our hands right now. And I say, Al, not just this committee, but the entire council. We just need to set a time schedule to review them, score them, and select one, two, or none, and then go forward. That's where we are.
Well, if I may. Eric, what's your timeline to hire this new economic director, economic development director?
Yes, sir. 30 to 60 days. The job ad went out Friday.
So in a perfect world, do you want them to be a part of this plan?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we reached a point where I believe, sir, the expertise that that hire will provide will be necessary for the town in this project.
Thank you.
That's kind of what I was going to ask, with the timeline for when you wanted the full council to get together to review this. So you don't think it's ready to move forward to council yet?
I wouldn't say that. You have offers that there are five offers that responded, and the town has committed through the town's issued RFP that we would, town council would convene as a selection committee in September to narrow the field. And then, of course, that timeline after that is not determined, but ideally, if it fell suit with how our other procurements fall, we would give, let's say, at the end of the month, it'd be too soon for a council meeting next week, but let's just say there was a special council meeting at the end of the month. Firms are selected to be interviewed, typically give each firm 2 to 3 weeks to prepare for their presentation. And so then now you're into mid to late October, and then you could select. So town council, if they so chose, could have selected firms by early November.
So what part would the director have in that if we move forward and we won't have one for 60 days, you're saying?
Because I don't see any role for the director in the selection of the
office. Oh, okay. I thought that was Mr. Crosby's
question. They're to help develop the property with the successful team.
Okay, after the fact. So you're saying we won't be reviewing this Tuesday evening, but maybe a special council meeting later in the month?
I'll be asking the question to the mayor, certainly to y'all as council members, if you would like an executive session, which state law requires that this be reviewed in executive session.
Right.
If you would like time to do this Tuesday evening, or would it just be best to handle it, given the unique nature of it, by itself a week or so later?
Okay. So do we need to vote on Mr.
Just real quick, those were excellent points by Mr. Chapman. That's why you have a few years on me in the government role, so I appreciate those points. I thought we were on a very strict timeline. And, you know, I think, right, I don't know if we can have a workshop as economic development, or if this does need to go to executive session for the discussion. Obviously, we have companies waiting for an answer from us. I want to get the most amount of money back to the citizens of our town, and I'm a big believer in the combination of the work of the attainable workforce housing and the economic development together, along with some recreation as well. I still stand behind that. So if we're moving forward for like an executive session or some type of discussion, then I can remove my amendment for now as my motion to amend, if that's possible. If this is going to go to an executive session,
I'll remove my second.
Right. So okay. as long as, and maybe we can discuss real quick about having, maybe we need to have a workshop. Are we allowed to have a workshop with the four, or should this be a council workshop?
There's nothing that would preclude you from having the workshop. Yeah. Although it is clear that the selection committee is town council.
Okay.
If it's your desire to move expeditiously, you constitute enough members of council to add this to the Tuesday agenda. So it could go on an executive session.
That's the move.
I think that would be a good start. We may not finish, but we would be a good start for discussion purposes in executive session. And as was suggested, there's part of these materials that is proprietary information. Mm-hmm. So we've got to be careful on how we discuss them. But general discussion and maybe a timeline agreed to by all of the council members, since the entire council is the selection committee, would be good.
So I'd make a motion to move this to executive session at council, at the next council meeting. Is that correct?
I would suggest just placing it on council.
Okay.
Okay, we'll
do that. I'm not past my year yet.
For discussion.
I'm still my...
How it is handled, I think we need to leave up to the administrator and the mayor.
Okay.
And I'll second that motion to just place it on the agenda.
Okay, excellent.
And Madam Chair,
we're getting through this.
Still discussion. I just want to reiterate, council was provided each copy with a scoring sheet. So members should be scoring the firms so that they can be compiled by the staff and delivered to you the results.
Okay. So we'll discuss it Tuesday evening. Okay. Thank you.
All right. We need to vote.
Need to vote since you made a motion. I'm sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. All right. Item 7, discussion of environmental guidelines for land development and economic development. We discussed this a little bit today at our flood resilience committee, and because we were talking about Faison Road, this is on the agenda just to see in discussion to see if we would be interested in having some of these elements included when we develop Faison Road. If there's that, I didn't know if
Mark,
were interested in that. It's just a discussion of number 7.
Seven, yes. So I had asked, and I appreciate this going on. Do I have the floor?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I had asked for this to go on. I think it's very important. You know, I think there's been a lot of discussion with this LID program that becomes, and there was an excellent comment actually made earlier, that it's possible we might make this a mandatory thing. We had a study done on business in Mount Pleasant, and we weren't exactly put up high on that we're a very friendly place to do business. And that came back from a study of experts. So we passed an economic development plan. That plan is through, and appreciate everybody that obviously did that, Madam Chairwoman, for assisting in that. But we need to make sure that we're a friendly place. And with that comes whether we make things mandatory or whether we make things that we have collaboration with people. And an excellent point was brought up earlier, and that point was the plastic bag ordinance. Well, the plastic bag ordinance is not doing a very good job, and that's a mandatory ordinance, I believe, if we want to call that. And there's plastic bags all over Mount Pleasant. There's bags that are 10 times, 20 times the thickness of a regular thank you bag. So they're finding the loopholes. But if we educate and we ask for partnerships with people, that is where we get a bigger buy-in. That's where we get longevity. So I'm very excited about this LID program. And I believe Kevin are you available to show a couple slides? As a matter of fact, there was one slide that I thought was very interesting. Kevin, sorry yes, sir. To put you on the spot.
It's okay.
I like your tie.
Appreciate it.
the one with, so there's a very small project that shows an additional half a floor going on to a building. Do you have that slide?
Yes, sir. I'll get to it very quickly.
Okay. So with this LID program, I know that height and density is a very scary word in Mount Pleasant. But when we talk about affordable housing and we talk about different things like that, it could be done the right way. And staff has done an incredible job with this. So do you have the layout of the original of that piece of property from? Right. Okay.
That one, yes. That's our prototype that we use just as an example.
So this is the piece of property without using the LID program?
This was part of the level 3. We did use this for the LID program, yes, sir.
Is there 3 slides on this piece of property showing this one, A, B, and like?
There's 3 different type of uses in this entire building, restaurant, office, and retail. We okay. just provide it as a variety.
I'm trying to think if this is the slide where you show when they put $80,000 into it and then $120,000 into it. Brad, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you're talking about the very last slide that showed the financial breakdown?
Yes.
Okay. It'll take me just a second to get there. Oops. Let's see. Can I do this? Nope.
It's in the bottom.
How do you go down? I'm sorry.
I threw Kevin off with the tie compliment.
It was today's presentation. It had the old one. But I know what you're talking about, the financial breakdown.
Well, what we're talking about is we're talking about allowing an additional half a floor to be put on to a property, to a building, and they invest over $120,000 in environmental, in positive environmental impacts. They increase our taxes. They increase the taxes that they'll pay on their building with very minimal impact to the property. And I thought that the slide was an excellent slide to show that. I'm kind of buying time right now as well. Anyway, on the LID program, I just go down some pointers real quick. It adds to quality of life. It's going to lift up the cement. I mean, that is taking cement from the ground, bringing it up, and putting permeable surfaces. It recaptures public space. It allows for better site designs. By going up, it allows for more space and less impact. I mean, so we're just going to allow people to go, instead of, you know, allow people to go out 4,000 square feet, instead of being 2,000 square feet on top of each other, it equals 4,000 square feet. But it gives us 2,000 more square feet of public space. And I believe that companies are looking for partnerships with the towns. I believe that the towns that these companies are looking to do business with, they're looking for an ESP, which is the environmental sensitive plan. And they're not looking for an environmental sensitive plan to be jammed down their throat. They're looking for an environmental sensitive plan that they can work with the town. Because when you just tell somebody mandatory here, do this now, boom, they don't buy into it. And we need them to buy into this for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. So we can make something mandatory off the rip, but then they're not going to maintain it. If you get them to do the buy-in, and as we discuss Faison Road and economic development, I just feel that this was a very important, just as important as this is to stormwater, this is just as important to the economic development and recruiting companies to come over here that want to do business with us and want to be part of creating a partnership with us on a long-term basis. So this is an example here. I believe this company would be, this building would be putting $113,000 in of environmental investment into their property that they will have to also maintain for years to come and be excited about maintaining it. And they add about 800 square feet of space, I believe is what it was, somewhere around there.
10% would be 840, I believe it came.
Right. You don't have the chart of that building real quick to make it look really...
Yes, sir. The one I just had up.
Yeah.
Sir.
So it was $120,000. There it goes.
It's a
right there.
Yep. The purple. It shows 10%. So that would be 850 square feet.
I appreciate that this is part of flood resilience. I know that it's a big part, but this is also a very big recruiting tool to the companies that want to be here and want to know that we're taking a positive step forward to preserve and save the environment. And they want to be part of that commitment, not exactly made mandatory on what they're going to do. So that's all I got.
I'm here for questions.
Anybody else have any questions? Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for bringing it to us.
Right. Number 8 is discussion and possible action regarding a request from Charleston County for an amendment to the joint county park agreement.
Madam Chair, we at the staff level request a continuance of this matter. There's some information, full information that we need to make an appropriate recommendation to you, and we just don't have that yet.
Okay. Do we need a motion to continue?
Please.
Yes. Do we have a motion to continue?
I'll move that we continue discussion on item number 8 on the agenda.
Second. Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. And number 9 is to adjourn. So thanks, everybody.
Sweet. Thank you.
Thank you.